Today is Thursday, January 9th, 2020, and we're going to hear Reb Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Vayechi. On behalf of Jerry and Lynn, welcome everybody. I was told to tell everybody we're milchik tonight.
Thank you.
And there is class next week. And we will be milking next week.
Why do we know that?
Probably.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That's just all right.
Nice.
Can you hold it? I want to break it.
Okay, Dr. Oberlander is dedicating the shiur tonight in memory of his wife, Bunny Oberlander, Rachel Basimcha Cohen, and it should be an aliyah for her neshama. And the yard site is Tazayin Teves, and this coming week. I'm going to... Some of what I said, I've said here before, we were discussing when I came here what I should talk about, I'll apply to something I'm not sure that I mentioned here before. This Parshas Vayechi talks about, in a sense, the end of Yaakov's life in Egypt, and the Torah tells us, "Vayechi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim shvayas reshana." Jacob, lived in Egypt 17 years. Now, the Baal HaTurim, if I remember correctly, because the Chumash here doesn't have a Baal Turim, but Baal Turim cites a Medrash that the 17 years Jacob lived in Egypt, supported by his son Yosef, correspond with the 17 years that Yosef lived in Canaan, supported by Jacob. And the question is, is it just a coincidence, or is there a certain idea that's being expressed? Daniel told me that he looked at the Chumash with my uncle's parish, and my uncle had a whole approach to that question, and according to the way Daniel told it over to me, I didn't see it inside. But according to the way Daniel told it over to me, it's going to be just about the opposite of what I'm going to say. So, all right, anyway. But
do you want a Baal HaTurim?
It's all right. He's going to get it. Okay. So the question is what? Now, I've discussed in the past the question in English... We use the word live to mean not just live breathing, but the word live also means residing. I live at 3244 West Ardmore. So the word live in Hebrew, chai, doesn't mean residing. That's vayeshev. When the Torah wants to talk about someone residing somewhere, the Torah says, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Megurei Ovid. Yaakov resided in the land. I'll see if my memory is correct. Okay. Yes. He says, Sheva Esrei Shana, Keneged Sheva Esrei Shanim, Shegidel Huli Yosef, Kilkolo Yosef Sheva Esrei Shana. Corresponding with the 17 years that he brought up Yosef. Yosef took care of his needs for 17 years. That's what the Baal Torim says. Okay, so there is a difference between, in Hebrew, in the Torah, between the word Vayeshev and Vayechi. Vayechi talks, when we talk about how long a person lived. But here we're not talking about the years of the Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shvayas Reishana. In that part of the pasuk, we're not talking how long he lived. We're talking about the years of his residence in Egypt. So, and Vayhi Yemei Yaakov Shnei Chayav, then they're talking about how long he lived. But the first half of the pasuk, the first half of the verse, is talking about how long he resided in Egypt. So what does it say? He lived 17 years. It would have been more appropriate, more consistent with the other similar psukim in the Torah if it would have said, Vayeshev Yaakov Bieretz Mitzrayim Shvayas Reishana. Why does the Torah use the word live instead of Vayeshev, he resided? Now, in the past, I have talked about Parah Adumah. It was suggested that I somehow bring the red heifer in. Okay. So, as I was told, Parah Adumah. Parah Adumah was they would take a red cow, and it was burnt, and the ashes together with Bayim Chaim, with living waters, would be sprinkled on somebody who came in contaminated, became halachically contaminated because of contact with the dead. In other words, the law is that, let's say, going into the temple site, if somebody comes in contact with the dead, so he has to go through a process of tahara, of a process of, what would be the English word, tahara?
Ritual purification.
In other words, somehow, when one comes in contact with the dead, that affects him. Now, it doesn't mean there's some kind of cloud that goes on him. It's a legal effect, but I think that legal effect is really expressive of a psychological effect that normally affects a person when they come in contact with the dead. So a person who came in contact, let's say, was in a room with a dead body. We're all tamei today because we all have come in contact with dead. But before, you have to go through a purification process. And the purification process involves the taking of the ashes of the red heifer together with the living waters and sprinkling it on the person. And in addition, he has to go to a mikveh, and he has to put his head below the water of the mikveh and come out. And that is the purification process that takes place. Of course, none of this happens today. We don't have the ashes of the red heifer. We don't go into the temple today. We don't have the sacrifice services. So none of this has application today. But the question is, what's the idea behind it? There's a lesson. Now, the law of the red heifer is a chok. It's a law that we can't understand. But my uncle says that there are three types of reasons. There's a reason why, there is a reason how, and there is a reason what. He says, how and why, we will not understand. but what we will understand. In other words, there is a lesson. There is a lesson that we could learn from certain laws of the Torah. And, you know, I could learn one lesson, and another person could learn a different lesson. And in one period of time, the message of the law of the Torah would be one message, even though the law is the same. And another time, it might have a different message. If I face a certain predicament, and I read in the Torah, I read in the Torah about something, it because of what I'm going through, there might be a certain lesson that I deduce from the law of the Torah, which another person who might be a greater scholar than me would not be able to see. So these are the type of lessons that we can deduce from Parah Aduma. So the objective reason why, the reason that applies to everybody, that we can't understand. Even Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, the wisest of all men, said, according to the Medrash, that he can't understand it. But the special message. And so I'm going to tell you, and I've mentioned it before, what the special message is for me. In other words, there are two approaches to life. I've mentioned it before. You could see life as a process of living, and you could see life as a process of dying. And there are certain people that their whole lives is living, and they die only in one moment. And there are other people who could live very long lives, but their whole life is a process of dying. And it's a process of dying. And I think we say in the high holidays, we say, Chosfeinu Bersefer Achayim, L'man Chalikim Chayim. We're not just asking for another year. We're talking about the quality of life, and I'm not talking about in the medical sense. So we're talking about in the psychological sense, the quality of life. And by the way, just a while I get on, I'm not going to, there are certain people that if they miss their handball game and they can't play their handball game in the morning, life isn't worth living. Mm-hmm. And there are other people that, on the contrary, even if they're lying in a bed and they know that there are close relatives near them or whatever it is, life is worth everything. So I have a lot of trouble when a doctor who doesn't know a patient tells me that this person doesn't have quality of life. It might not be quality of life for him, but who says it's not quality of life for the other person? So life could be a process of living, and life could be a process of dying. And Yaakov, when he thought Taraf Yosef, when he thought that Yosef was torn by an animal, says Anochi Ered Livni Shaula, life became a process of dying. But the last 17 years of his life, Vayichi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva'esrei Shana. He lived. The Torah doesn't use the word Vayeshev. It uses Vayechi to tell me it wasn't just breathing. It was living. It was living. And I think, and it's very interesting, you take a Esav, when he sold the birthright, why did Esav sell the birthright? Because that was the day, the Medrash says, he came in from the Sudah, from the field, and he heard that his grandfather, Abraham, died. And he said, Imesos Zakein, if that elderly person, I'll turn it into contemporary terms, if that religious figure, Abraham, died, Ein Din Vein Dayan. There is no law, and there is no judge. In other words, he rejected God out of anger. It wasn't anger, it was actually an excuse, I think. But for Esav, life was a process of dying. It's interesting that the Epicurean approach is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If you see, there are two perspectives. If you see life as a process of dying, there are two reactions. One is eat, drink, and be merry. I might as well get the whatever it is. And by the way, by the paraduma, the red heifer, according to our sages, that was given as a kapara, as an atonement for the golden calf. Why did they make the gold? Why did the Jews make the golden calf? Because what did they do when they made the golden calf? They made it when they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. They came in contact with death, and because they came in contact with death, life became a process of dying for them. So what did they do? They made the golden calf, and vayochlu, they ate, vayishtu, they drank, vayakumu letzachek, they got up to be merry. Epicurean got it straight out of the Torah. It's right in the Torah. For tomorrow we die. If you see life as a process of dying, that's one approach. So the Torah says that you have to reverse the process. And what's the idea? The idea behind ashes is destruction, and living waters is the idea of life, living waters. You take the living waters together with the ashes, and you sprinkle it, and in a sense, the person, it represents the idea that from destruction there could be life also. You can reverse the process. And this is what the Torah is telling us about Yaakov, that Yaakov was able to reverse the process. Vayichi Yaakov, because it was a process of dying for him from the time he thought he lost Yosef, but he was able, he had that ability to reverse the process. So it was Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. He lived in the land of Egypt. Now, but Yaakov, it wasn't indulgence by him, the Jews of the desert, it was indulgence. Yaakov's reaction, it manifests itself in depression. But that too, we have to be able to rise above that and to be able to reverse the process. It's natural to see when it's under certain circumstances, to see life as a process of dying. But we have to galvanize our abilities to reverse that process. So that's what the Torah is telling us here. Esav, he sold the Bechora. Why did he sell the birthright for a pot of lentil soup? Why did he sell it for a pot of lentil soup? Because for him, life was a process of dying. Once he saw Abraham dying, he came in contact with death. So his action was the Epicurean approach. Eat, drink, and be merry. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else had value. But Esav did not galvanize his approach, galvanize himself to reverse the process, whereas Yaakov, when he confronted that same type of tragedy, he was able to reverse the process. And I think that this is the idea of the 17 years. Now, there is a mistaken impression that when somebody retires, that when someone retires, he's no longer working, he's supported by others, that life has become a process of dying. And that's a mistaken notion. Now, the first 17 years of somebody's life, those generally are the most progressive years of a person's life. So if those are the most progressive years, it's not. No one will say that the first 17 years of someone's life is a process of dying. So that's the idea. Just like when Yosef was supported by Yaakov, the first 17 years of Yosef's life, those were years of progress. Those weren't years of falling apart, but it was years of progress. See, even the last 17 years of Yaakov's life were years of progress. He was supported by Yosef, but a person can have an impact on his friends, on his family, even in the last years of his life. And it's very interesting. I think the Meshech Chachma points it out. He says, "Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvash Veshana." Yaakov lived in Egypt 17 years. The question is, he lived in Goshen. Why did they say Egypt? Goshen was the city he lived in. So why he said Yaakov in Goshen? He had an impact on all of Egypt. In other words, even though he was supported, he was able to establish, he had relationships with people, and with those relationships, life was a process of living. And that's what we have to learn from Parshas Vayechi. It's called Vayechi, that even when life is a process of dying, we could turn it around and turn life into a process of living.
Gentlemen, we need your help for the Maariv Minyan, please.